This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 19, 2018. The 12th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is a difficult homily for me, because generally, like 99.9% of the time, I love getting up here and I love expounding upon Scripture. I love to talk about the traditions of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and I love to teach of the magisterial teachings of that church throughout the centuries of her existence. Today, unfortunately, those things that I always try to emphasize that are so important is a day when I have to say, see, I told you so. It is like a sad day for a parent who's got a child, usually an adult, young, or a teenage child, and you keep telling them, don't do this, don't do that, don't continue in this course of action, or no good can come of it. And then you get the call from that child or from a hospital or from the police, and you get it in the back. I told you so. I knew this was going to happen. That's how I feel today, because in emphasizing those things, Scripture, tradition, the magisterial teaching of the church throughout her history, all those things I stress because that is the way God has manifest his will in this world. And a lot of people, I don't know God's will for... Yeah, you do. That is such a ridiculous statement. Yes, you do. You know it if you read the Scriptures. You know it if you listen to the traditions of your Catholic Church. You know it if you adhere to the magisterial teachings of your Catholic Church. That is God's will. And when you do not understand that will, or if you negate that will, there are consequences. What has gone on over the past couple weeks are the consequences of the church more generally. Not you, but more generally. And this isn't a finger pointing at you. It's some tools for the toolbox of your friends to, as hard as it may be, when they lament over the, why are we in this situation? It's a very easy answer. Very easy. Because you're not in the will of God, nor is the majority of the Catholic Church. The majority. How dare you say it? Look at it. Look, it gets worse and worse every day. Folks, I am no prophet. It doesn't take a brick to hit me in the head, generally speaking. This is going to change your church dramatically. Dramatically. It's going to change it. And a lot of people look at it, it's for not the better. I would submit to you, for the better. It is our understanding of the will of God that will persevere, that we will be able to do this. Let me point out what I mean by misunderstanding or being ignorant of the will of God. Or even worse, and this is prevalent also, negating God's will. Scripture, tradition, magisterial teaching of the church. Folks, Protestants laugh at Catholics because of their lack of knowledge of Scripture. You are a joke to them. They don't even interpret it correctly in all places, but at least they know it. Might interpret it wrongly, but they know it. That's why they have coaxed so many Catholics out of the church. They know Scripture. I don't. And they'll confront you with that. If you knew Jesus Christ, I mean, your own saints tell you that. Saint Jerome, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. We're ignorant of Scripture. Completely ignorant. You can't be here more than a couple weeks when I don't point out. Okay, look at your bulletins. The Gospel of Matthew, 1 through 10, and then 20. What happened between 11 and 19? Read it. Probably the most important part. What do those things that are left out generally have to do with? They have to do with sin. They have to do with judgment. They have to do with the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ to be the only way to salvation. And they have to do with hell. Those are, as it's referred to in the circles, as difficult passages. Difficult for who? Difficult for sinners who want to wallow in their sin. That's who, for whom it is difficult. For the righteous, it puts them on the right path. It gives them a warning. It's the big yellow flag, if not the red flag. Today, last week, if you're following along, we're going through Ephesians for the second reading. Last week, the readings ended in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Today, they pick up in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. What's going on from 3 to 14? Let me just share in part. This is what you didn't hear. Immorality and all impurity must not even be named among you. Be sure of this, that no impure man has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I can't believe he said that. I didn't. God does. Nobody's going to hear that elsewhere. It's not in the lecture. I don't mean nowhere. Maybe some, but there are a bunch of faithful priests out there, and maybe they will. But that's what you didn't hear in the lectionary today. What is set before us in the church now? It is immoral and impure men acting within the church, in position of authority in the church. Immoral and impure men. And then the last part applies. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Well, that's them, not me. We allow it. Nobody says it. Well, who am I to... Canon law even says, Canon 212, you have the responsibility and even the duty to bring it up to your superiors in a tactful way when they are not in conformity with what you know to be Scripture, tradition, or the magisterial teaching of the church. We allow it to happen. Ignorance of Scripture is why we're living this nightmare. Because, as I said before, sin is one of the things that we don't want to talk about. Don't mention abortion. Don't mention contraception. Don't mention the sin of Sodom. Because this family deals with this, and these families deal with that. Everybody deals with sin. We should be on our faces before Almighty God for His mercies, for forgiving us for those sins, and then setting our path and repentance on the right way. What is the crisis that is before us? It's the cover-up. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's what's being covered up. And that is pervasive sin of Sodom in the church. That's what it is. That's the evil. It's not an intrinsic disorder. It is a soul-destroying, hell-binding evil. That's what it is. That's the problem. The cover-up is ancillary. It's a side issue. It is pervasive sodomitic activity in the church. That's it. Why doesn't anybody know about it? Because it's never addressed from the pulpit. It's not a sin. It's intrinsic disorder. When you start messing with words like that, when you start messing with the concepts like that, this is what happens. The traditions of our church. That's Scripture. Okay, check, we're ignorant of Scripture. The traditions of our church. How are the traditions of the church most manifest? You know, I'm a big, huge liturgy guy. What's the liturgy have to do with it? Just about everything. Just about everything. Because what is the liturgy? What is the holy sacrifice of the Mass? It is not only the presentation of your faith, it is your engagement in the faith. It is your experience of the faith. You are to be involved in the liturgy. The expression of the depths of our faith that the Holy Spirit has nurtured throughout the centuries that has culminated in the traditional Mass. Those things in the traditional Mass that are of profound importance in understanding who God is. That's not in Scripture. It is what we have come to understand about what God says about Himself in Scripture and how He expects us to ask. The Mass is the manifestation of that. And that Mass has been eviscerated. It has been gutted over the past 60 years. Shorten this. Cut this out. Don't do this anymore. It's superfluous. It's meaningless. It's extravagant. Extravagant? Yeah, Jesus beefs about extravagance. Oh, I forgot. That's Judas Iscariot, who beefs about people doing an extravagant thing for Jesus, like anointing his feet with the expensive oil. What is this extravagance? That money could be used for the poor. That's Judas Iscariot. And Jesus does go, yeah, Judas, you're right. Oh, I forgot. No, he doesn't. He says, leave her alone. What she does will be remembered for all eternity. Jesus likes when you're extravagant in your worship of him, because that's what the Mass is. Your worship of Jesus. It's not a show. My God, even the way the churches are built now. They're built like auditoriums. What do you do in an auditorium? You watch something. You watch the show. You watch the show. Why the priest faces you. That's what you do. It's not an experience of God. It's not the profound Mass where everyone is facing east, awaiting our Lord to come back. It's not the profound of coming to the table of Christ on your knees, receiving Him in your lips because you know your hands are filthy, figuratively and literally. And how would anyone think of putting divinity in their filthy hands, literally or figuratively? The disorder in worship. Disorder. Coming to a church, talking. It's like it's a club. Social thing. Shows the vibrancy of our parish. It's rude. It's rude, disrespectful, and sacrilegious to talk in church. The pinnacle of the disorder is the new sign of peace. They've always had the sign of peace. Not like that anywhere. People gallivant back and forth, hugging, kissing, talking to. You know, it doesn't even stop after communion. They keep it up. Oh, I received communion. Oh, I didn't get to shake hands or hug this person. It's disorder. Sacrilege. That's what it is. If the Mass is the experience of our faith, let's keep shortening it up. Come on, let's get them out of here. Think about it. It's of the utmost importance. And then the magisterial teaching of the church, I'm not even going to jump on this one, aside from saying, what is the magisterium of the church? It is supposed to give a clear presentation of the faith. I point out quite frequently, 70 years ago, whether you love it or hate it, you knew exactly where the Catholic Church stood on everything. Theologically, morally, liturgically, everybody knew whether you loved it or hated it. Now, what's that? The church never said that before. Confusion. Over the past several years, heterodoxy, Orthodoxy is straight teaching. Heterodoxy is different teaching. Heterodoxy has been promulgated in some of our documents. Something that has never been there and that is not in conformity with what was in the past. No matter how many hermeneutical and translational gymnastics people like to do, hasn't been there. And there is from the highest offices in the church, heresy. There is no hell. If there is, probably nobody's in there. Denying outright the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Confusion. That's where we're living. This is what you get. This is the I told you so moment. Because all the ignorance of these things, it all centers on the present prevalent misconception of what our church believes. I think the first and the foremost, you know, we really like to quip about it and everything, but it's not a quip anymore. All are welcome. There you go. Here you go. You got it. All are welcome. All are in your church. And all are doing what all do in your church. Now it's a big problem. And it also shows the hypocrisy of the modernist. All are welcome. All are welcome. They need to be in prison. They need to be in jail. Why? He's merciful. You don't care. Boys will be boys. Come on. Lighten up. All are welcome. Wow. Look at that. Look what happens when the wolves and the bears and the lions are allowed into the sheepfold to decimate the flock. Decimate's an understatement because that's 10% of. It's a whole lot more than 10% of the flock that is going to be injured or killed over this whole thing. That will not be in the fold anymore. This is the problem. This is why it is so important to learn your faith. I mean, not what you hear now, but what has always been presented. And we can sit here and wring our hands and go, oh, woe is us, we are undone, like the prophet Isaiah. We're not undone. We do have this going on for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ says the gates of hell will not prevail against it, which is a good thing because the gates of hell are opened on her right now. Okay? That's the bottom line. This is demonic. There are no such thing as demons. That was just a mythological. There is such a thing as demons. There are such things as demons and Satan. And guess what? They're belly laughing right now at what's going on in the church. But for us, we should look at it and we should adhere to the words, not only of our Lord saying that the gates of hell will not prevail against her, but it says at the toward the end of that second reading today, always and for everything give thanks. What? I'm supposed to give thanks for this? Yep. A bunch of people could leave the church. Good. Because why are you in the Catholic Church? Because you love Jesus Christ. And that is where you find the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church. The church that he established. It is so interesting for me today because lamenting over this homily, I had this little glimmer of light in there. Is we're going to have a confirmation today. Okay. Can you imagine? This has got to be a Holy Spirit thing. Who in their right mind would ever join this mess? The same people who believe that bread and wine become God because it's the thing to do if you want to go to heaven is to become Catholic. Okay? But we're not talking some 12-year-old who's doing it because mommy and daddy want them to or because brother and sister did it when they were 12. This is somebody who spent a life praying about this and contemplating the things of the faith. That's glorious. That should be tremendously encouraging. Today, after this homily, a confirmation. Wow. This needs to be fixed. It, to use bad grammar, ain't going to happen overnight. We are three generations into this hot mess where we have stiff-armed the traditions of our church, not paid attention to Scripture, negated what the church has always taught us. A lot of people are going to pray for the church. Lord bless the church. Guess what? I said before, this is demonic. In a much greater scale than an individual being possessed by demons. and our Lord Jesus Christ looked at the apostles, why couldn't we cast them out? Because these kind only come out with prayer and fasting. You need to be praying hard, a lot, with fasting, and with corporal works of penance. We need to be, and there will be coming up, as time and liturgical calendar allows, masses of reparation said in this parish. Always like to do masses for the dead, but now I got to work in masses of reparation also. That's the only way things like this are going to get fixed. You have to worry. This is not a communal problem. This is not the church. This is individual souls who are demonized. Individual souls, many that have been allowed into the Catholic Church. It's demonic. It can be fixed. But it's got to get down to the brass tacks of you as an individual, ensuring that you know Scripture, the traditions of your church, and the magisterial teachings of your church. So you confront even those in high authority when they are not in conformity with those three things. It's up to you as an individual, because individuals get together who are faithful, then you have faithful parishes. And as small as they may be, that's a glimmer of light in the darkness for other people who might be questioning. Because that's another positive thing that can happen of this. People are going, I can't believe it. You're the ones that are out there amongst them. When your friends say things like that, go, these are what we have to know. These are the words of our Lord. Look carefully then how you walk, because the days are evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.